Hello and welcome back to Don't Depend on Daddy, the podcast. My name is Michaela. I am your host and we are back for the annual financial goal setting, financial resolution episode. For the past couple of years, I've been making this episode where I talk through how to set financial goals, how to set financial resolutions. I feel like this is the type of information that should be refreshed and reminded and updated annually. I'm going to share some of my, I guess, goals and resolutions slash intentions for 2024 so far. If I'm being completely transparent, I have not sat down and given that process the proper attention just yet, but I am planning to do that towards the last week of December. First week of January is usually when I do that. So I'll give you a sneak peek of what I've thought about up until this point, but obviously everything is subject to change. And maybe I'll do my own separate episode about like my specific goals and resolutions in a lot more detail for my whole life, not just my finances. I actually think that would be a great episode. So I'll add that to my list. Anyways, we are going to get into the bulk of this episode, but first, as always, we're going to go through our housekeeping, but I also have a couple quick announcements that I want to make people aware of going into 2024, which is right around the corner. So housekeeping first. As always, if you listen to this podcast, you can use the code PODCAST1 for $10 off the personal finance dashboard. That code will never expire. I do want to let you know that I am going to be running one more sale on the personal finance dashboard. I'm currently planning to run that the last week of the year, so starting the day after Christmas until probably like January 2nd or 3rd, because I know that people are traveling, not around, and I'll keep it going an extra day or so that if you miss it, you know, or you're away, you don't miss the sale. I also am going to be bringing back the personal finance kickstart kit that will come back at the end of the year as well. That was like a bundle that I had going on for flash sale during Black Friday. It bundled together the 4-week financial plan, the personal finance dashboard, and the year-end review masterclass. And there was also an option if you had already purchased the PFD to like take advantage of the bundle pricing as well. So if you already have the PFD and you're interested in that, don't worry, I've got you covered there. So I'm planning to bring that back as well the last week of the year. Just as a heads up, if you maybe miss the Black Friday sale or your priorities changed or you're new and you know you are interested in taking advantage of getting some of the things that I offer all year long at a discounted price. Woohoo, we love a sale. Next, Own Your Money, as always. Own Your Money is my debut book. If you haven't purchased it yet, you totally should. I actually had somebody come up to me at a coffee shop today and she let me know that she had bought the book and really loved it. And that meant so much to me. So if you have read Own Your Money and you've enjoyed it, leave me a review on Amazon or send me a DM or an email. Honestly, send me an email because my DMs are a nightmare. But Own Your Money, great book. You should buy a copy if you'd like. You can also listen to it on Spotify if you have Spotify Premium. You can purchase the audiobook. It's available on Kindle. It's an excellent gift to give during the holiday season. And I definitely recommend gifting financial freedom to somebody in your life. I'm going to read the Own Your Money review of the week. This is from Laura P. She gave me 5 stars. Thank you. And she said, a fantastic personal finance book. Great for anyone looking to improve their relationship with money. I felt personally attacked and called out in chapter 4, spending money on things that matter, but in the best way possible. I have been and still am guilty in some/all of the things she points out. Overspending, treating my credit card like free money, emotional shopping, lifestyle inflation, and avoidance. She gives her personal experience with how she overcame everything and became a conscious spender. This book is written in a very relatable and easy to read way. The author honestly teaches you things you should know or refreshes you what you already know and makes a connection to her actual life experiences. I want to learn from someone who has gone through the struggles I am going through. She does teach different budgeting methods, which is great for you if you want to try something new or never knew how to from the beginning. She gives a harsh reality check about your job and career, and she explains that saving money isn't enough for most people to reach their goals, and you need to make smart investments. I cannot recommend this book enough. While I haven't saved 6 figures yet, I have a better grasp on how to get there. This book makes you feel like your best friend is giving you great advice, as well as some stark reality checks, but not in an off-putting way. Perfect for any gender, any age, just looking to learn more on how to spend and invest and make better financial decisions. This review is so genuine, so kind. I'm obsessed with it. Thank you, Laura P. I am going to read this to myself regularly. Anytime I'm feeling bad about, I don't know, just having a business is hard sometimes. So this was a really, really, really friendly, pleasant, and happy review that makes me proud of this book. I am coming out with another book next year, Own Your Career. And I will say, it's going to be a very different style of book. I will, as we get closer, give like the full update, but well, I've got you right now. Own Your Money and Own Your Career are going to be published by two completely different publishers. So with Own Your Money, this was obviously my first book deal. I didn't really know a lot about shopping publishers and stuff. So, you know, the publisher I went with ultimately decided they wanted to do illustrations for the book, which have been largely well received. If I could do it over, I'd rather have a book that's like styled a little bit differently personally. And so that's going to be coming together in Own Your Career. I also just think the quality of my writing in Own Your Career is so dramatically different because they were written, you know, it's my second book. I learned a lot about writing. Obviously, I had a lot more help in terms of editing and style and all of that with the second book because the publisher I'm with, Wiley, just provided more resources for that to like make the quality of the book even better. So if you got Own Your Money and you felt like it was a little bit too basic, which was intentional, I did intentionally write the book to be incredibly straightforward and basic because I wanted it to be applicable to really people early on in their financial journey. But maybe if you were someone who felt like it was, you know, a little bit too basic for you in terms of style, Own Your Career is much more, I don't want to say mature, but I feel like that's probably the most fitting word. So food for thought, just so you know, coming out next summer. It's actually in the copy proofing, getting laid out into an actual book stage. The funny thing about writing a book is you write it in a Google Doc and then the publisher takes it and like turns it to a book. So I'm excited to get that first draft back. We've also been working on covers and stuff, which is always a challenge. So TBD on how that all comes out. Last quick housekeeping piece is to leave me a review. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave me a review. 2023 was like a more tumultuous year for the podcast. You know, I took a little bit of a podcast break. We ditched the video. I'm not going to say that video will never come back, but it's not coming back, I think, in the near term. I will say that I am hopefully planning to, I mean, I am, not hopefully. The podcast is a priority for me in 2024. I am going to be, you know, improving the quality of it, making it much more structured, hopefully introducing some new topics and whatnot. I find that a lot of you who listen enjoy the more lifestyle-esque, like real life applicable concepts. I don't mean lifestyle as in I'm going to be talking about like beauty products and clothes and whatnot, but topics that are applicable to life, if that makes sense. So more of that is going to be coming next year, hopefully some more guests. And yeah, leave me a review if you've enjoyed it so far. If you have feedback, please leave that in the review. Again, send me an email. I'm happy to incorporate your feedback. In fact, I would love to incorporate your feedback. So please send it to me. Let me know what you like about other podcasts too, and I'll see what I can do. Now, moving into a few quick special announcements that I want to keep in mind. You heard it here first. Next week, so not today. Actually, you know what? I am going to put the link to this in the show notes for podcast listeners because you guys are the best. So I'm actually going to make a note to do that right now. But I created a financial planning email crash course completely free, and I'm going to be launching it to my Instagram next Monday. But if you're listening to this, I'll include it in the show notes so you can access it a little bit early. Essentially, what it is a 5-day, you know, you get one email per day. I lay that out in the intro. One email per day going through the steps to put together your plan for 2024. And then it's in your email. You can go back and reference it as a resource. And I think you'll really enjoy it. It's just good information to have. I separated them out day by day so that it's like digestible chunks, step by step. So it's not too much all in one. Inside, there's what you're going to learn, the goal of the lesson, what you need to do, and then some action items for you to prepare before you move into the next day. So if you're interested in doing that, it comes along with a financial plan checklist, and you can download that checklist and it will take you through the email crash course. So if you're interested in that, I'll make sure it's linked in the show notes for podcast listeners to start earlier. And then I also wanted to let you guys know that coming in 2024, in January, I'm going to start talking about it again more publicly, and you'll be able to enroll in it unless you have the PFD, I might make it available to you guys earlier. But a personal finance accountability membership. So a big theme for Break Your Budget in 2024 is community. This year, you know, my social channels have grown a lot, specifically on Instagram. I gained, I think, like 100+ thousand followers on Instagram, a little bit more than that. So lots of new eyeballs, lots of new friends, lots of new people. And I really want to focus on getting to know you, if I'm being completely honest. I feel like community is something that I've lacked because I don't do a lot of one-on-ones. And, you know, it's hard for me to keep the lights on in my business, engage, and like do all of that, if that makes sense. So I want to find ways for collaboration to help facilitate, you know, all of you who are financially focused and maybe young professionals who could connect with each other and just create that space to learn, learn from me, have access to me in a different way. So I do have a accountability membership that will be coming in January. There will be masterclasses involved, live weekly money reviews and office hours and monthly money reviews. It's not going to be expensive. It's going to be like $10 a month. You get access to everything. Everything's recorded, so you can go back and look at it again. So that is coming in 2024. I'm really excited because I think the biggest miss or gap that a lot of people have told me about that they struggle with after they buy the personal finance dashboard is, you know, you set up this budget, you spend all this time setting it up, and then there's always an excuse as to why I didn't have time to go back. I skipped my weekly review and now it's harder for me to get back on track, or I haven't been tracking my expenses, or, you know, I'm stuck on this. So the goal of this membership is to really solve that problem. Because like I said, there will be weekly office hours. So you can come in and join that, do your money review with me. You can go back and watch it if you can't make the phone call. There's other people in there, you know, there's questions and answers and resources and all that kind of stuff to just make it a little bit easier. And also to create that accountability for you in more ways than one. One, because if you're paying for it, you're going to show up for it, right? That's the big thing. And two is the resources for you to actually do it are in your face. There's kind of no way to skip out on it unless you have something else you have to be doing, in which case you're still acknowledging the fact that you need to go through the review. And, you know, that's your reminder to do it. So I'm excited for that. I'm still working out the kinks, but that is coming very, very soon. And I will be launching it along with a two-part masterclass is the current plan. Don't hold me to word to that, but that's the current plan as of now. And you can only access the masterclass, obviously, if you join the membership. So all of that is coming soon. That was a lot of catch up and housekeeping and all of the things. So now we are going to get into the rest of this episode, which is how to set your goals for 2024 and the difference between financial goals and financial resolutions and how to set some financial resolutions. And at the end, I'm also going to share a couple of the financial goals that you all submitted to me on Instagram last week. Starting with financial goals, the tried and true financial goal setting method that I recommend you follow, I talk about this in my book, I also talk about this often on my various channels, is to follow the SMART method. This is a very standard method for goal setting, although I don't really feel like it fits all aspects of life. I really think it's more for quantifiable aspects of your life. So maybe your career, but specifically your finances. So SMART means that the goal is specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. And essentially, there are two main benefits to setting SMART financial goals. First is it forces you to get really, really clear on all of the different pillars or aspects of the goal, right? So you have to make sure that you're super clear on what you're trying to accomplish. You need to put a dollar amount on it. You've evaluated if it's achievable, it makes sense for your life. You know, it needs to fit into what you're currently doing. And then also if it's time bound, you know, you're giving yourself a deadline. With that information, you can do some backwards math. So specifically the measurable and time bound aspect, you can do the backwards math and get a monthly amount and then build that into your zero-based three bucket budget, which if you go back to some of my prior episodes, specifically the why you need a financial plan and how to create one episode from like 3 weeks ago at this point, I go through how to create that zero-based three bucket budget on all of the steps to, you know, build your goals into the plan. But the second reason why setting SMART goals is so important is because it really encourages you to reflect on the relevance of the goal. So I think the achievable and relevant aspects of these types of goals often get looked over, but financial goals need to be put into the context of your life in order for you to prioritize them, right? So if you're setting a goal that feels really far off or feels like it's something that's so much of a pipe dream that it's never going to happen, it's a lot easier for you to talk yourself out of actually working towards it, as opposed to making sure that the goal makes sense for the current phase of life you're in, you know, makes sense for the other goals that you're trying to accomplish and everything fits together, if that makes sense. Another big benefit of setting financial goals is that goals provide both clarity and direction when it comes to creating your financial plan, but also around your financial decision making. So if you aren't really working towards anything, then it becomes a lot harder to find motivation or reason or, you know, your why of why you're actually putting together your plan, why you're tracking your expenses, why you're updating your net worth, why you're paying attention to your financial situation. Oftentimes, I think people think that like, oh, I'll just figure out my finances later, and then later comes around and they haven't actually done anything and they don't really have any goals and there's nothing that you're really working towards. And that's really where you get into this predicament of, what am I existing for? Like that adds, I feel like, to the whole quarter life crisis and not knowing what's going on. So getting clear on financial goals provides a lot of direction and motivation and purpose in your life, which can be hard to come by after college when there's no plan really laid out for you and you have to create that plan. So now that we're clear on what smart financial goal setting is and why it's important, let's get into the how you can actually set some of these goals. So the first thing that I want you to think about are the different types of financial goals that exist. There are savings goals. So think goals that are like short-term cash goals that you keep in a high-yield savings account. So this could be an emergency fund. It could be a travel fund. It could be a wedding fund. It could be, you know, a fund for saving up to travel to weddings, whatever. I have a few different savings goals that I am working towards. I always am working towards a travel goal. That goal, you know, rolls over year because I like to set money aside for trips and whatnot. I have an emergency fund. I'm not actively saving towards that, but it still stands as an ongoing savings goal. And I have a car maintenance fund for, you know, various expenses that come up with my car. Looking forward to 2024 for savings goals, I don't think I'm going to be adding in any new concrete savings goals. I am noodling with the idea of setting aside or continuing to set aside a little bit of cash for a potential real estate purchase, but that's not like a serious goal that needs to happen next year. So it still counts as a savings goal, but it's not as clearly defined because there are inputs that are not available to me yet, if that makes sense. Like, I don't really know where, I don't really know how much, I have an idea of how much I'd be willing to spend, but you know, the market is variable. I'm not totally sure at this moment. So that's something that I'm keeping in the back of my mind. Next are investing goals. So these are obviously goals that involve investing your money for the long term. So that could be contributing to your 401k, that could be opening up a brokerage account, that could be, you know, exploring investments like cryptocurrency or real estate or something, if that's something that you're interested in. I don't have any crypto. I do currently invest in real estate via Fundrise. So it really just depends what you're interested in and how many different types of investment accounts you have at the moment. For me, currently, my like ongoing investment goals are to max out my solo 401k, both as an employee and as an employer, and to invest as much as I possibly can of my post-tax income via breaker budget. Not really investing for anything in particular, but because I'm making, you know, money every month via my business, I like to make sure that that money is invested. And, you know, again, sometimes with investing goals, it can be even harder to define. But the goal is ultimately to be focusing on your retirement accounts. And then, you know, if you have additional money left over, which some people do, I know that that's like a triggering thing for people to hear sometimes. But remember, this podcast is not a podcast where I'm going to hold your hand. Some people have money left over because they don't have to pay debt and, you know, they make income, right? So people who have that, maybe you are investing via a brokerage account. And then the last type of financial goal is debt payoff. So if you have a student loan, or maybe you're paying down a mortgage, or you have credit card debt that you're hoping to pay off, or a car loan, those would all be examples of debt payoff goals. Now that you know the different types of financial goals, you want to start thinking about what goals feel achievable and relevant for your current life. If you have not put together any sort of plan or budget or taken a financial snapshot, I highly recommend that you do that first, because it's really hard to set goals if you don't know what you're working with, if you don't know how much money you have available for those goals. So I definitely recommend that you go through the steps of taking a financial snapshot and also of putting together like a more optimal budget with your essentials and non-essential expenses, so you know a reasonable amount of money that you have available monthly to put towards your goals. All of that I go over in detail in the financial planning crash course. So sign up for that if you want. If you want to bypass that crash course and enroll in the 4-week financial plan, obviously there's significantly more detail and guidance and videos and all of that in that course to help you go through all of these steps in the context of putting together a plan. But obviously today we're just focused on goals. So once you know how much money you're working with, and maybe you have no idea where to start, there is sort of an order of priorities when it comes to financial goals. First being, if you are employed and you have access to a 401k and your employer matches that 401k, you want to take advantage of at least contributing up to that match, because that's free money. If you want to invest beyond just the match, feel free to do so via your 401k. Get a lot of questions about, should they have a 401k and an IRA? Are they both necessary? I do have a whole podcast episode about that. It's called All About Retirement, featuring Gaurav Sharma from February, or either late February or early March of last year. Go listen to that if you have questions about retirement. But that is the first overarching, you know, we'll say priority when it comes to financial goals. Next, if you have any high interest debt, so credit card debt, or really any debt over, you know, 8% or 9% interest, you'll want to pay that off or prioritize paying that off before moving on to any other like saving investment goals. Also an emergency fund, I guess technically an emergency fund is number one. Because if you have an emergency and you don't have any cash to access, then you have to put on a credit card, you incur that debt. So emergency fund is, I guess, we'll say the overarching priority. Optimal amount for an emergency fund is your monthly essential goals times 3, 4, 5, or 6, depending on your level of comfort. So I have 4 to 5 months of expenses in my emergency fund. So if, you know, all of a sudden my business stops, I have money to figure out, you know, getting another job and figuring all of that out. So that is the overarching first goal. So I guess we have emergency fund first, and then retirement, 401k match beyond that if you'd like, and credit card debt or high interest debt. Beyond those things, then we're starting to think about other savings goals. So that could be, again, saving up for travel, saving up for a wedding, saving up a down payment on a home. There's really no formula here, because it all boils down to personal priority, right? So if you want to save up to buy a house in the next couple of years, that's probably going to take priority over saving up to go on a big vacation to Italy. That's not to say you can't do both, but you may need to prioritize the timeline so that you are realistic and so that the goals are achievable. So that's really where the context of the goals comes into play. I can't tell you what's more or less important, because I don't know how much money you make, I don't know what your other goals are, and I don't know what your personal priorities are. So think about all of the things maybe that you want to accomplish or do in the next couple of years, let's say 5 years, and write them down and write out, how much are these things going to cost? What is the most important to me? So maybe, you know, the most important thing to you is you really want to buy a house in 2 years, which means you got to start saving up some cash for a down payment. And so you've paid off all of your debt, you're contributing to your 401k, which is great. And the rest of your savings at this point are going to be going towards saving up for that down payment on a home. Goals are subject to change. So maybe that's your priority for the first couple of months or first half of 2024. Something in your life happens and you're like, wait a minute, maybe this isn't what I want to do anymore. You can totally change that and save up for that big trip to Italy if you want. Maybe you're getting married next year, and so you're trying to prioritize saving up money so that you can, you know, cash flow the wedding and that you're not taking out any debt or putting yourself in a financial struggle for a wedding, then that means that you're going to be prioritizing your wedding savings maybe over a house savings, or again, over that big trip to Italy or whatever that looks like for you. So think about the context of your various goals. If you have no idea where to start, follow that order of operations. I expand on that inside my book. So you should get that or listen to it on Spotify Premium if you are interested in a little bit more. And yeah, those are the steps for setting your financial goals. So now what I want to do is move into financial resolutions. So financial resolutions are different than financial goals because resolutions are more behavior-based and intention-based than they are super tactical and strategy-based, right? So you're not going to set a resolution and list it in order of priority. You're not probably going to be putting a number on a resolution. It's more of like, I am setting an intention for next year that's going to help guide my financial decision making. I personally like to set both goals and intentions because it helps to frame up my approach to my money overall each year. Setting goals is obviously really important, but setting intentions can just be a little bit more soft, if that makes sense. And just, I think, put you in the right headspace and mind space. For actually achieving those goals. So a few examples, because I think examples help exemplify what financial resolutions are. In 2021, my biggest financial resolution was to start saying yes to life. And saying yes to life and making that as my resolution, I didn't know what that was actually going to look like. But at that point in time, we were coming off the pandemic. I was living at home and, you know, I was planning to move out of my parents' house and go somewhere. I didn't know where it was going to be ultimately. I had an idea about Boston, didn't end up working out. And the opportunity for me to move out to LA came and I decided, you know what, on the theme of this financial resolution, I am saying yes to life. And it's one of those things where up until that point, I had been in a really negative headspace of using my money as a tool and I was afraid to spend essentially. And so by setting the intention of like this year saying yes to life, that means that I'm going to enjoy doing things, enjoy experiences without money being the driving factor of those decisions. What it did was it just put me in a space of I've earned enough money, I'm doing well at work, I'm starting my business, and now I'm prioritizing experiences and enjoyment in my life. And I'm going to let myself use my money to do that. And it was a really, really positive experience for me. And it's something that I carried over into 2022. And it's something that I carried over into 2023. I feel like I did a good job of doing that this year. And it's something I will continue to carry over into 2024. So that's an example of a financial resolution or a financial intention. Another example of a financial resolution could be that you are moving into a period of, you know, saving more. Maybe you've been saying yes a little bit too much and you're feeling a little bit financially stressed or financially strained with, you know, inflation and all the things that are going on in the world, making life more expensive and whatever. So maybe your financial resolution going into 2024 is I am going to prioritize saving. I'm going into a year of, you know, maybe I'm doing a little bit less travel, or I'm prioritizing cooking at home, or I'm just making decisions to up my savings or to really focus on my financial goals, to really get ahead financially. That is a perfectly viable, excellent financial resolution. Because what that is doing is it's setting the tone for the year. You're going into the year under the guise of, this is my year to get ahead financially, and I'm going to be making decisions throughout the year that support that. Again, the difference between a goal and a resolution is that a resolution is more broad. It's a mindset and an intention, meaning you don't know how specifically much money the impact is going to be. You don't know exactly what it's going to look like because you don't know what decisions or life events that are going to come up in your life where, you know, you're going to have to make a choice. But you do know that going into the year, knowing there will be pivotal moments and decisions you have to make and choices that have to be made, you have set the intention that you're going to go with the choice that makes the most sense based off of that particular intention or resolution. Again, I want to be clear that resolutions are more behavior-based than anything else. They're also completely subject to change. So maybe you, again, set the intention you want to save more this year. Something comes up in your life and, you know, that's just not going to happen. That's okay. Life happens. But you've set the intention and you can adjust the intention. Another intention could be around, or resolution could be around, like how you choose to spend your money. So a resolution that I've set in the past from this angle has been focusing on making more intentional quality purchases over just buying something because I either need it or because it's the cheapest option. So that means that, like, let's say, for example, I am buying skincare and I'm focusing on purchasing the quality product. Maybe I'm purchasing less products, but I'm buying nicer items. Another great example of this would be a capsule wardrobe. So I've spent a lot of time over the last few years curating a capsule wardrobe. How this financial resolution originally came to be was by focusing on quality over quantity with my clothes. And it sort of translated into other aspects of my life. But because I've set that resolution year over year, not only did that make it possible for me to change the way that I approached buying clothes and really think about purchases a lot more, but now, because I've been following that, you know, intention resolution for 2 or 3 years at this point, I am much more cognizant of the clothing purchases and really just any day-to-day purchase that I make. I'd much rather buy from, you know, maybe a smaller brand or a smaller boutique where the clothes might be a little bit more expensive, but they are much higher quality. I aim to shop less on Amazon because, you know, I want to support smaller businesses. Like, that's what I mean by quality over quantity. And that really does guide my decision-making when I'm out and about and faced with all of these spending decisions, whether I'm shopping or I'm with my friends or I'm traveling or something of that sort. So that's another example of a financial resolution. So those three, I feel like, are pretty common. But I want you to think about financial resolutions in a positive light rather than a negative light. So when you're focusing on setting your intentions for the year, try to spin them to be positive. So instead of saying something like, I don't want to spend any money on unnecessary clothes, you would say something like, I want to focus on intentional shopping to build out my own capsule wardrobe, or something of that sort. Like, instead of saying, I want to spend less money so that I can save more, it's, I want to continue prioritizing saving my money over spending my money. So think about how you can make that resolution positive, write it down, and aim to set, I would say for resolutions and intentions, like 2 is probably a good number. For financial goals, I would say maybe 2 to 3 is a good number. You don't want to overwhelm yourself. And you also keep in mind, you can work on things at different points in the year. So maybe the first half of the year is you really want to focus on saving. And the second half of the year is you really want to focus on using that saving to say yes to life. That would be an example. So things are fluid. Nothing has to be concrete and set in stone, but really it's to guide decision making. And your goals are to provide motivation and clarity for your broader financial plan. Now we're going to pivot into sharing some of your financial goals. Last week, I posted on my Instagram story a couple of questions, and one of them was, what's your biggest financial goal for 2024? And I think I got, like, this was one of my most answered question boxes. I think I got like 1,000 answers. So obviously we're not going to go through all of them. I will ultimately end up sharing some of these on my Instagram story. So make sure you're tuned into that if you are curious about what other people are doing. But these are all, you know, I think there's some overarching themes, like generally people just want to save more, but some of these are intentions too. So with that, I'm just going to read off some of them. First, one was fully fund my high yield savings account for emergencies, for my car, and to start a down payment savings. Love that. Those are great savings goals. And I feel like those are goals that you'll feel, they'll make you feel financially secure. Another one was to actually have a budget and spend within the budget, but still enjoy life. I would qualify this as more of a resolution. I think that's a really excellent example of a financial resolution. You want to prioritize budgeting and you want to find that balance. That is a year-long process. I think oftentimes people think that, oh, I'll just make my budget next month and, like, then I'm paying attention to my finances and I'm sticking to it. That's not true. A lot of times the budget you set at the beginning of the year or even at the beginning of the month is incredibly different than what actually ends up happening. And you have to really learn your own spending patterns and what does and doesn't work for you and what's a realistic amount of money for you for different things each month. And that's an ongoing process because it changes, you know, every couple months as the seasons change and your priorities change and all of that. So I love that as an intention. Another one was to put an extra $250 into my savings each month. Love that. Great specific goal. Another one is to pay off all of my consumer debt, which is about $6,000, and fully fund my emergency fund to $15,000. Love that. I think these are two excellent goals. I think those are both probably realistic for the year, and hopefully you're also contributing to your match to your 401k and you're golden. Next is I want to reach a 50K net worth. Love that. That's an amazing net worth. Let me see here as I scroll through. A lot of these are just like, I want to pay off my debt. I want to invest more, which is great, but give me some juice. Okay, one is I really want to focus on decreasing my grocery and eating out budget by being more mindful and eating at home. Love this. I think that's another really great intention because it's focusing on a behavior. So decreasing your grocery and eating out by being more mindful. So that means that you're spending less at the grocery store because maybe you're making a list or you're meal prepping or you're planning ahead. So that's being more mindful. But also you are buying enough food to last you throughout the week so you're not Uber Eatsing on a Wednesday afternoon or getting takeout or going out to dinner because you don't have anything at home or, you know, you didn't prepare anything. So I think that's a really great way to control a category of spending that can become really uncontrollable when you don't pay attention to it. Another one, I want to save for every big purchase that's over $1,000 before I buy it. Love that. I think this is another really great intention. If you have a habit of making big purchases or maybe impulse spending, making a list of things that you want and intentionally saving for them over a period of time makes the actual purchase much more gratifying. Not only is that the more financially responsible way to go about it rather than just like buying it and putting it on a credit card, but it also is much more satisfying when you've saved up for something, you really feel like you've worked for it. And that is a really motivating and exciting experience. It's also like the kind of thing that instills confidence that you can actually do it. And something that I've learned is that I feel like a lot of people feel this way, I build confidence by proving to myself that I can do something. So I think that's a really great example of how you can actually prove to yourself that you're capable of saving up for something and rewarding yourself with that thing. Somebody said, I've been wanting to get a plastic surgery that I've been saving for and I want to pay off my car loan. Love this. You all know I got my nose done. I've talked about it before. Saving up for that surgery was, you know, again, one of the best things I ever spent money on. So I fully support. And I think paying off a car loan is a great goal because car interest rates are crazy. And also, as someone who has a fully paid off car, not having to worry about a car payment is fantastic. The only expenses I have towards my car, assuming nothing goes awry, is my regular insurance, which is like $140 a month, and then gas. And then every year I do my annual oil change, tire rotation, just like overarching service. And I pay for that via my car maintenance sinking fund, which if you don't have a car maintenance sinking fund, I recommend you think about that and maybe add it to your financial goals list because as a responsible car owner, you have to know and understand that expenses related to your car will come up. So if you are not planning for that, i.e. regular services, potentially needing to replace a part or, you know, get new tires or something of that sort, you need to be a responsible car owner and make sure you're saving for that should it happen so that those expenses don't catch you by surprise. Because, you know, they're going to come up at some point if you own a car. Let me see here. I want to save another $10,000 to reach my goal for a down payment on a home. Love this. Highlights that saving up for a down payment on a home is a multi-year process. It sounds like this person is at the end of the rope here, almost done in reaching that goal. So more power to you. I'm sending you good vibes to save that $10,000. Another goal, or this is more of an intention, I want to be better at tracking what I am spending and I want to invest a set amount of money every month. I love this because these are two very achievable things that are both within your control. One being you want to get better about tracking what you're spending. You sound like a good candidate to join my membership when that's coming out, so make sure you do that. But also investing a set amount of money each month. That requires you to think about How much money do you have for your financial goals? Can you set up that auto investment and can you build it into your regular budget? So that's a controllable thing. You have full control over doing that. It's just taking the time to set up and figure out like how much money is the right amount for me? Where do I want that to go? Could be a 401k, could be an IRA, could be a brokerage account, and then setting it up and letting it cook without you having to really do too much beyond that initial setup work. Okay, scrolling through here, a lot of saving an emergency fund. I want to become debt-free. I want to save money. I want to pay off my student loans. Oh, I like this one. I want to develop new skills to transition out of my current industry and get a higher paying job. Amazing financial intention. That's also a professional intention or a professional resolution, but it has a financial impact because obviously if you have more skills and you're able to transition into maybe a different industry, you can get a higher paying job, which is ultimately a financial goal because more money means you have more money to put towards your various spending, saving, etc. I want to max out my Roth IRA. Love that. I'm pretty sure that the limits for Roth IRAs are going up in 2024. So I'm actually going to see if I can find that information right now. Roth IRA limits 2024. $7,000 if you're under the age of 50, up from $6,500 in 2023. Oh my gosh, flipping back and forth between the years always confuses me. But $7,000, that means that you'd have to set aside like, what's the math? I don't know, like a little bit over $500 a month, $5,100 a month, $510 a month. Oh my gosh. Pull out a calculator and do the math yourself because clearly I can't do math. Okay. Next. I want to save 10K. I want to save 15K. I want to hit 100K net worth. Godspeed. I'm sending you good vibes on the 100-figure net worth. That's a major accomplishment. The first 100K is the hardest. It gets way easier after that. I want to dial in my budget and save consistency. I love that. I want to pay off 15K. I want to become debt-free. I want to increase my credit score. I love that. That's done through healthy financial habits, treating your credit card like a debit card, making sure you're paying it off in full every month, using it consistently, keeping your utilization low. I want to make enough money to also save. Amazing financial goal. Amazing goal. I feel like a lot of people are in that boat. Remember, you can only cut your expenses so low, but you can increase your income infinitely. So focus on developing more skills. See if you can transfer into a higher paying job. Potentially think about picking up a low to no skill side hustle or a skill-based side hustle. Way more on side hustles coming in 2024. That's another membership I'm working on, likely to come at the end of January, early February. I want to pay off my credit cards. I want to hit a six-figure salary in 2024. Amazing. I want to save more money now that I have a job and I'm earning more. Love that. I want you to get more specific. I want to build up a fully funded emergency fund. Good. Make sure it's in a high-yield savings account. I want to make more than just rent in a month. Love that. I definitely support going back to you can increase your income infinitely. So focus on developing new skills. You can use tools like Skillshare. You can use LinkedIn Learning. You can look for, with most employers, they offer like development skills or resources in order to learn new skills. So see if your employer offers that and learn some new skills. Focus on your resume. I've got a free resume download available, you know, pretty easily accessible across my page. I'm pretty sure it's linked in the show notes. If it's not, it's on my links page. And increase your chances of getting an interview for a higher paying job with a baller resume. Lots of tips in there on how to do that. Let me see what else to wrap this up because I know we're getting kind of long. Is there any other interesting ones? So many pay off credit card debts. Guys, credit card debt. I don't want to shame you for having that, but that should be high, high, high priority and something that you really should focus on not accumulating. I'm actually like really surprised at how many people have credit card debt. I wasn't expecting that. I need to stop spending every damn dollar I make, period. That's right. Start saving. Set some goals. Hopefully you have some ideas after listening to this podcast episode. Debt, build an emergency fund. Wow, I got to make some content on debt. I want to quit the job I hate to focus on my passions. Love that, but the smartest people build their passions on the side of their 9-to-5. Let your 9-to-5 fund your life and fund you exploring your passions. Once you make enough money from your passions, then quit the job that you hate. But don't quit the job you hate. if you don't have a backup plan, because the job market is tough. Be accountable with tracking my spending. Yes, that's a big one. I do my best to share this on my stories and stuff, and also within like the PFD community. That being said, I do find that obviously you're not all always tuned into Instagram all the time watching my stories, but the accountability thing is a big gap. So hopefully some of the things I'm coming out with next year will help, you know, really alleviate all of that. I want to save up enough money to get a new roof on my house. Love that goal. Super specific, but how much? That's what I want to know. Okay. Save up for grad school. I want to start a new job so I can finally feel financially comfortable. I want to save up for a hybrid electric car and max out my 403B. Love that. I need to get back on track and stop ignoring my financial problems because I feel overwhelmed. Love that. That's a great intention for your finances for 2024. But for goals, we want to be more specific. I think I'm going to end on that because a lot of these are paying off credit card debt, and starting to invest and starting to save. So with that, I hope that this podcast episode was helpful. If you want more information, I do go into more detail in a different way on smart goal setting in last year's podcast episode about setting goals. So you can go back and listen to that if you would like. Make sure you sign up for the financial planning email crash course. It's entirely free. All you have to do is enter in your email and you will get the financial planning checklist, and you'll be on your merry way over the next couple of days to start putting together your plan for the new year. With that, I'm going to sign off, and Godspeed. I'll catch you next week.